Buttered popcorny sound, it can only mean one thing. It's time for the movie show. Good afternoon, Kitchener Waterloo. I'm Gary. She's Barb. Welcome to your Saturday afternoon matinee. We have a great show today, highlighting what some consider to be probably the most important science fiction film ever produced. Good afternoon, Kitchener Waterloo. Welcome to Saturday Afternoon at the Movies, your movie show. Sponsored by the Lee Gregory Fund, incidentally. But a warning, there will be spoilers. And we make no apologies for that, do we, Barb?
No, none.
Because we're here to talk about films. Films that we love and the music that goes along with them. And today's film is Blade Runner by Philip K. Dick. Barb, what can you tell us about this film?
This film is set in Los Angeles 2019. Synthetic humans, known as replicants, are bioengineered by the Tyrell Corporation to work off-world on space colonies as slaves. A group of advanced replicants, known as the Nexus 6 model, led by Roy Batty, escape back to Earth. Well, Rick Deckard, who is a Blade Runner, reluctantly agrees to hunt them down.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone, and you're listening to Saturday Afternoon Matinee, the movie show. What you just heard was Memories of Green from the 1982 film Blade Runner, written by Vangelis. And incidentally, that selection was from his 1980 album, See You Later.
And not written for the film.
No, it was already written, yes, and used in the film.
That's okay. You do that. They do that a lot.
Yeah. Why not?
You're a composer. You write a song. Mm-hmm. It fits in. If you get asked by producer to write some music, you've already got some music that fits in there. Why not use it?
And it fit in perfectly during the scene where.
Yeah, you know why? Because he's sitting there playing piano. So, and there's a piano in the song. So that fits perfectly, doesn't it?
Right. And also, it's when Rachel is in the elevator and spooks Rick Deckard and
Harrison Ford's character.
And then he lets her in reluctantly because he just tested her with the Voight-Kampff machine and found out that she is, in fact, not human, but a replicant. Mm-hmm. And she had no prior knowledge of this. So she follows him home and she says, "See, here I have these photographs." And then he says, "No, that's not you. Those are memories that were implanted into you." Mm-hmm. So that music fits perfectly
because she starts
to cry and then she races off. And
Yeah.
So it was a really touching scene. The music was just perfect for that.
Okay, so she's a replicant.
Yes.
Which is an android.
Yes.
For all intents and purposes, because we want to mention that Philip K. Dick wrote the novel, which is called
Androids Dream of Electric Sheep?
And the androids are androids.
Synthetic humans. Yeah.
And in the book they call them Andes.
Andes, yes.
But for the film, they decided that Android was overused.
They didn't want, it was overused. They didn't want to use that. So I can tell you how.
Tacky sounding Android.
Yeah. And they want, these guys are essentially human. Like, the motto of the Tyrell Corporation is more human than human.
But didn't you say that the name replicant came from?
Yes.
Yeah, where did it come?
It came
from. Oh, you're going to come?
Yes, I'm going to get to that.
Sorry.
From one of the screenwriters, David Peoples.
Right.
And, he came in after there was already several drafts of the screenplay, and he came in to clean up the dialogue and stuff. So, and there was all this scientific jargon, and he just couldn't understand it.
This is great. I love this.
Yeah. So he asks his daughter, who
was a biochemist,
A chemistry major at UCLA, to clarify some of the scientific language.
Yeah.
And she was talking about replicating cells. And he said, "Oh, that's it.
Replicant, that makes sense, right? It struck a tone with him.
Yeah.
And it is a great term.
Yeah.
It is a great term, to get away from android.
Like, android is just, I don't know, silly sounding to me. So replicant is something new, something cool, right?
Yeah, and it does sound cool.
Yeah.
It does sound, and it sounds kind of mean, too.
Yes.
Andes sound like,
funny.
Yeah, kind of funny. Like, they're you might laugh at them.
Yeah.
But Philip K. Dick, also a famous writer, obviously, wrote Total Recall, Minority Report. I'm not stealing your thunder here, am I?
No.
Okay. And Scanner Darkly?
Yeah.
And can I introduce the next song?
Sure, absolutely.
It's my favorite song.
Is it?
Well, yeah. Okay. Well, only because I know the song already, because we used this song. Remember, we used this song in a video that we did years and years ago of when we went to Toronto.
I don't remember that.
To the Science Center.
Okay.
And you don't remember that?
No.
Anyway, this is One More Kiss, Dear, from the film Blade Runner.
One more kiss, dear. One more sun. Only this, dear. Goodbye. So for now, dear, au revoir, madame. But I vow, dear, not farewell. For in time we may have a love's glory. Every autumn leaves fall from the tree, tumble to the ground and die. So in the springtime, like sweet memories, they will return as will I, like the sun, dear, upon high. Such pleasure.
Was One More Kiss, Dear, from the Blade Runner soundtrack, film from 1982, music by Vangelis.
Mm-hmm. And it was sung by Don Percival. Remember that guy? He was the guy who got David Bowie out of a funk.
Well, I knew there had to be a tie in there somewhere. Yeah.
And this particular song that in the film... It's like used as background.
Yeah, you don't hardly see it. You wouldn't even know.
You wouldn't
it.
Even if you're not listening. Yeah. You would miss it entirely.
Yeah, it's like he's walking past a bar and
he grabs a drink. It's after he retires, which is the term to shoot and kill the replicants. Yes, they use retire.
He retired a replicant.
He retired Zora, the snake exotic snake dancer.
Oh, that was an awesome scene.
Yeah, and so you just hear it. As he's got the shakes, right? After he shoots her.
Yeah.
He's got the shakes, so he needs something to drink. Yeah. So he goes and buys a shot of
whatever
it is. And you just hear that song playing in the background.
Yeah. No.
It just shows how this film is so much, it's so textured and layered, you know? It's such a great, great movie.
Yeah. One of the first movies released on DVD.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
Cool. So One More Kiss, Dear. Okay, so that and it's sort of an incidental type song used in the film, but my favorite song on the soundtrack, so it's funny how that works. But I think it's more because it's kind of more of a conventional type song.
Right.
You know, and I can
the
identify
guy's voice
that.
Is great.
He's got a great, he's got that great sort of like 40s sounding.
And incidentally, he was just doing the track for the right. person who was going to ultimately sing it. I can't remember the guy's name, but this was just like a working copy for the person to learn from.
Yeah, like a stand-in kind of thing.
But Vangelis, at once he heard that, his voice, yeah. he just said, that's
oh,
it,
yeah.
I'm keeping you.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
The guy has an amazing voice, and my favorite part of the song is that voiceover.
That they do,
you know,
yeah.
and where he basically talks the verse.
Yeah.
And I just think that just so cool and such a well-structured song. And, you know, and then the saxophone comes in there. And, yeah, just a beautiful piece of music by Vangelis. Talk about the next song, because we're about to hear Blade Runner Blues, and it's a long track. And Barb, describe what's going on in the film Blade Runner during that scene.
Well, you see another character by the name of Pris, and she's a replicant.
Now, who plays Pris in the film?
Daryl Hannah.
Daryl Hannah. Yep.
And
we're not going to go there. we're not going to joke about Daryl Hannah okay. today, even though we did have a Neil Young in the last show, and we.
Yeah.
That was kind of fun talking about Neil. But.
Okay, so she's this is where she runs into J.F. Sebastian, and she latches
now,
onto
okay,
him.
Now, hold on. Who's J.F. Sebastian?
You can't just throw
these new characters out at us and expect us to know who's going.
J.F.
Sebastian is a character in the film who works for the Tyrell Corporation.
Yes.
And the Tyrell Corporation, for anybody who's been sleeping, is the company who makes the replicants,
yes.
right? They
yes.
make the humanoids or the android replicants, right?
Mm-hmm.
And J.F. Sebastian, he is one of the engineers, I'm going to say,
one of the engineers. Yep.
who works on creating these replicants.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what were you going to say about you?
And this is the song.
So Pris...
Selection, she bumps into him. She doesn't bump into him.
It's accidentally on purpose.
She plants
herself where she knows he's going to be.
And then
she basically insinuates herself upon him.
Right.
Because she's a good-looking girl.
Yeah, and it's raining, and she's all soaking wet.
He feels sorry for her, so he says, do you want to come home with me?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, she does, because that's her plan, because they know that he is... the key to getting to the top, the owner of the Tyrell Corporation. And am I going too far by saying the reason that they're there? Because she wants to get Roy Batty, her boyfriend,
mm-hmm.
who is the head replicant.
To see the owner of
Tyrell.
Yep.
And why?
And you want to know why? Should we?
I don't want to. I don't care if we spoil it for the listeners. I don't want to spoil your thunder. That's all.
Okay. So it's because replicants, they have only a 4-year lifespan.
And why is that? Why was that done? That was a safe. A built-in safeguard.
I believe so.
Because the replicant, they always feared that, because we have to go back to the Tyrell Corporation, which is their motto for the replicants is more human than human.
Yes.
So there was always a fear that these replicants would overpower the human race, I guess. Does that sound
yes,
accurate?
Of
there
course.
Was always that fear,
There's
right?
Always that
There's
fear,
always that fear.
There?
And the Nexus 6, which is the ultimate, the best one, the latest model, the most intelligent and the strongest.
Yeah.
And in fact, the lady, Sean Young's character,
Rachel,
she didn't even know that she was a replicant.
No.
So she thought she was human.
Right.
And so this is the fear that humans had that eventually there was always a fear that the replicants would go against the humans,
mm-hmm.
would revolt, rebel. And so what was the fail-safe mechanism that was put into the programming of these replicants.
They only live so long, and then that's it.
And how long was that?
4 years.
4 years. And which leads us back to the reason that the replicants wanted to visit the owner of the Tyrell Corporation and I'm going to give you a chance to say this. What was the reason?
They're hoping that they can extend their life. Wouldn't you?
So they realize that they're only going to live for 4 years.
Right.
And they're seeking extra life.
Exactly.
Thank you. You're listening to CKMS Radio Waterloo 102.7. This is Saturday afternoon at the movies, your movie show, Kitchener Waterloo. We're playing the soundtrack to the movie Blade Runner from 1982, music by Vangelis. A movie that was preserved in the National Film Registry by the Library of Congress for its cultural and historical significance. Quite an accolade for a director to have his film honored in such a way. But the film wasn't received initially with such vigor, was it, Barb?
No, it
bombed at the box office, made less money than it cost to make it. That's the definition of a bomb, mm-hmm, right there, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. But what else? We just heard Blade Runner Blues, which you previously described as the scene where Pris, which is the character played by Daryl Hannah, and she gets sent to J.F. Sebastian's house. And say it, J.F. Sebastian is an engineer who works for the Tyrell Corporation, who manufactures replicants or androids.
Mm-hmm.
She befriends J.F. Sebastian and then brings her lover, Roy
Batty,
who is played by
Rutger Hauer.
And he does an amazing job. There's a story behind that too, isn't there? Ridley Scott didn't even audition anybody else for the role, did he?
No.
Why not?
Come on. There's no one else who could have done it. Come on.
Yeah, so Rutger Hauer plays the perfect blue-eyed, blonde-haired, very Aryan-looking replicant that is considered the top of the line, the Cadillac of replicants.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you've got something on your mind there, Barb. What do you got to say? Nothing?
Oh, we should do... What's your favorite...
We wanted to talk about our favorite scenes.
Scene.
Remember that?
Yeah.
So what's your favorite scene in the film?
I liked where the snake dancer, exotic snake dancer Zora, is retired by Rick Deckard.
And we want to remind you that retired means murdered.
Killed. Yes.
Killed. Retired.
And she
she
gets shot in the back, number one. Then she runs through this clothing store with all this glass and models, like just displaying the clothes. And she's just going through many panes
it's
of glass.
Extremely dramatic and very intense scene, mm-hmm, where he's chasing her. I mean, the whole thing goes on for about 10 minutes. When he's chasing her through the crowds,
sure,
and everything.
The streets.
I just thought that whole crowd thing, like where he's, you know, on the buses and, you know, following her. I just thought that was unbelievable directing.
Oh yeah,
like you if you think that's easy, it's not. And you know they make it look easy, right?
But, and Ridley Scott's films will be storyboarded, so. It's already planned ahead.
Yeah.
He knows exactly.
Yeah. He's not winging it, this guy.
No, he's not just making it up as he goes.
No, he's not winging it. Ridley Scott, and we'll talk more about him later, you know, famous director. But if you want to know my favorite scene, and it's funny that we both picked scenes, you know, where people die. But your favorite scene is when a Blade Runner kills a replicant.
Uh-huh.
And my favorite scene is when a replicant kills a Blade Runner. I just thought of that. That's kind of funny. And I'll describe the scene. And what's Owen? No.
Holden.
Holden?
His name is David Holden.
No. The replicant. Leon.
Leon is the replicant.
Okay, so he's one of the four replicants that has escaped and that they eventually are hunting down because these guys are coming to Earth to, do something nasty.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's giving him the test, which is the Voight-Kampff test, which is a test of an emotional test where you're scored emotionally for empathy, mm-hmm, which is the the determination of whether you're a replicant or not. If you're a replicant, you typically don't have empathy. So they'll ask them questions like, you see a turtle and you turn it over on its back and it's in the middle of the desert and you can see that it can't, it's struggling and it can't get, turn itself over and it's obviously going to die. And so then they monitor how the replicant is feeling, like through looking at his eyes, right? And they are able to record his emotional response to those questions. And based on that emotional response or lack of emotional response, they can determine whether he is a replicant or not. Well, the replicant starts getting very nervous because he can tell that the Blade Runner is getting very close to determining that he is an actual replicant, and he asks him a question about his mother. What's the question? He says, what do you think about your mother? Do you remember the question?
Tell me what the first thing you remember about your mother.
Yeah, and his response is just fantastic. He's, let me tell you something about my mother, and he just pulls out a gun and blows him away. But that's not the best part. It's how he does it. You know, he's in an office chair and he blows him away and he goes like through the wall and the whole thing.
I know, the chair and the Blade Runner just go right through the wall. And
It's so over the top. And it's like, you could, like Ridley Scott, you could just, like, he does have that, like he does like going over the top. Like he's, don't you think?
It's,
like
visually. Striking.
Striking visually. Yeah. So anyway, that was my favorite scene. Both murder scenes. Funny that. What was your least favorite scene?
Oh. I don't think I have.
You don't have one.
No. Okay. I like it all.
Oh, fair enough. Fair enough. Okay.
I like it all. Come on.
Yeah. Well, you want to know mine?
Okay.
My least favorite scene was when Harrison Ford's at the end when he's running away from Roy Batty and he's climbing up the outside of the building.
Right.
I hate seeing that because I know it's impossible to do. Like, there's no way. And then when they show that scene of, you know, his fingers coming over top of the building and you see his little fingers and come on, like, give me a break. Like that I just didn't fall for. And it's on wet cement and everything, you know. And then when he gets lifted up, remember I made that comment when Roy Batty saves him because he's about to fall and that's kind of the turning point in the film too, I think, when Roy Batty, when he saves him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Because
he's a replicant and he's showing empathy.
And he's showing empathy. Point, right? So at that moment, you have to wonder, he's more human than human, maybe.
Maybe.
That is the point where, you know, that you really have to, you know, that's the question, like the big question, right? Like, is he human? Is he more than human? You know, what's going on in his mind? Why did he do that? That's all those questions. But my least favorite scene is when he actually saves him and then they show the long shot and he's pulling him up. And, come on, that's a dummy. Like, it just looks like wooden legs or something. It just looks so bad. But anyway.
No, I thought it looked great. So I disagree. Okay. That's actually Harrison Ford probably on a.
I don't think so.
Yes, it is.
I don't think
so. Yes, it is.
I don't think it was. Yes. Okay. Anyway, we agreed to disagree. Yes. So talk about the next song. We need to move on here. What's the next song?
Tears in Rain.
Okay, what's so special about this song?
This is just after Roy Batty saves...
So the scene we were just talking about.
Just about the scene you were talking about. And it's where he gives his famous, it's a now world famous monologue as he's dying.
Yeah. And so just before we go on that, because this is important, I don't want to forget, because he actually went to the director and said, I would like to change the...
Right.
The,
and I can tell you what...
I would like to change the words in this scene.
Right.
And at that point, our directors normally forget it. Forget it, right? But what happened?
No. He was okay with it. So, and basically he just took out... Rutger Hauer felt that the dialogue was high-tech speech and operatic. Like, so he put, he, in his words, he put a knife to it. He took out several lines and just added, "All those moments will be lost in time, like tears in the rain."
You're listening to CKMS Radio Waterloo 102.7 FM. It's Saturday afternoon at the movies with your Saturday afternoon matinee on the movie show with your host, Barb and Gary. We're talking about one of our favorite films, Blade Runner from 1982, directed by Ridley Scott, starring Harrison Ford, Rutger Hauer, some guy named Daryl Hannah.
Yeah, Sean Young.
Sean Young. And, oh, that guy who played J.F. Sebastian, he's from the Bob Newhart show.
Yeah, you told me that. Yeah,
I forget his character in that. I can't remember. But we couldn't talk about Blade Runner or any Harrison Ford film without talking about those Harrison Ford moments. How could we?
Yeah.
Because we love Harrison Ford, and we love his little Harrison Ford moments, and I actually didn't find too many.
No,
in
not
this
too
film
many. No.
Because
no,
you know,
because it's more of a
it's a more serious film.
Yeah.
And he was looking for a serious role.
He
after you know Star
after
Wars,
Indiana
and
Jones,
Indiana
yeah
Jones, all those you know over the top films. He was looking for something a little more serious.
Yeah, he doesn't point his finger. Like, if you watch Harrison Ford in movies, watch for the times he, how many times he points his finger.
Yeah, and the rolling of the eyes and, you know, all that stuff. But the one that stuck out for me, this is the one, and I know you're going to love this. When, you know, when he gets arrested, they arrest him, and he's eating noodles at the Chinese food bar,
and
then we see him in the cop car. He's still eating his noodles.
I know.
Like, that's just Come on. I don't know if that was his idea to do that or not, but it wouldn't surprise me one bit. And there was a few grins here and there.
He rolled his eyes when he was getting arrested.
There was a rolling of eyes and a little bit of that and a few grins. But yeah, we love Harrison Ford. Oh, one thing, the last scene that we were talking about when Roy Batty was chasing Harrison Ford, and I wanted to make, there was a what I thought was a clear reference to Frankenstein. In that film, because when he's chasing him, and what's he doing? He's howling. Did you notice?
Oh, yes.
Did you notice all the howling?
Yeah.
And that is exactly toward the end of like Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. That is what it is when he's chasing Dr. Frankenstein because he wants to hunt down his mother,
his maker.
And what you hear, as he's running away from him, he knows he's not far because he can hear him howling. He's doing this howling, and that's it's a really eerie thing in that book. So I just wanted to point out that reference. I thought that was a clear reference to Frankenstein. And I also wanted to mention that Ridley Scott's involved in a new project, that Blade Runner TV show. Did you know about that?
No, I never heard.
Yeah, it's going to be called Blade Runner 2099.
Oh.
So it's like 50 years after the sequel. Yeah, so it's set to screen in late 2023. And one of the writers from Blade Runner 2049 is doing the writing for that.
Okay,
Or writing and executive production. So,
oh, neat.
Okay, so we really hope you enjoyed listening to us talk about the film Blade Runner from 1982, and we sincerely hope that you enjoy the movie show that we're presenting for Kitchener-Waterloo, and we hope that you will consider joining us every Saturday at 1 p.m. And next week, I'm going to let Barb take it out because you're in charge here, Barb. What are we going to be, not next week, but this is going to be every 2 weeks.
Every 2 weeks.
So what are we going to be hearing in 2 weeks' time, Barb?
Music from the motion picture Clockwork Orange.
Oh, it doesn't get any better than that. Like one of my absolute favorite films. That is one of those films that I've seen multiple times, and I never ever get sick of it. Mm-hmm. Name a Stanley Kubrick film a bad Stanley Kubrick film.
I can't.
Nobody can.
So many I can.
Nobody can. Don't feel bad. Nobody can. But anyway, we're going to be moving along here because we do have to wrap it up. Is there anything you wanted to say about the Blade Runner film, Barb? So I know you've been spending, you know, a lot of time.
Oh, it's just directed by Ridley Scott. He's one of my favorite directors.
Yeah.
Like also, Alien, Gladiator, Thelma and Louise, Hannibal, G.I. Jane, Robin Hood, Black Hawk Down, like The Martian. Like, he's just so many great.
Very prolific director.
Prolific, yeah.
Very, very prolific. And also had a brother who was a famous director.
Tony Scott, yeah.
Yeah, who recently passed away.
And Blade Runner is Ridley Scott's most complete and personal film.
Yeah, yeah. And he spent a lot of time doing scenes because of technology allows film makers to...
Right, so in like the DVD versions, they cleaned it up.
Clean it up,
yeah. Yeah, they clean it up,
yeah. And I can totally understand that. Like from a filmmaker's point of view, if you can do it, do it. Mm-hmm. Doesn't necessarily change the plot or how the viewer sees the film. Like I wouldn't notice that stuff. But good for him for caring that much about the project. It's a feather in his cap for sure. So what are we going to hear now? We're going to hear something to take us out of the movie show. What is it, Barb?
The end titles.
End titles. Anything specific about this? Or
no,
I guess it speaks for itself,
it speaks
right?
Speaks for itself.
But
yes.
Let me ask you: Is this the running song?
That's what you think.
The running song.
Yes.
Where I picture the guy running,
yes.
I'm going to be, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put this song on and I'm going to be running out of this studio to enjoy the rest of this gorgeous day in Kitchener-Waterloo. I think we're going to go get something to eat right now.
Yeah, I'm hungry.
All right. Thanks a lot for joining us,
everybody.
Bye. We'll see you in a couple weeks.